Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled Letting Go of the Attachment to Pursuit by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on January 31st, 2024. I was arrested in 2001 by local police and taken to the police station after a practitioner the police arrested earlier confessed that he had provided truth clarification materials to me. The police interrogated me and brutally tortured me, including beating my feet, legs, and body with a wooden stick. They later illegally detained me at a detention center. The prisoners there were instructed by the prison guards to hit me in the head repeatedly with a plastic bottle filled with 2 liters of water, which caused me to have intense headaches. I was also stripped naked and locked in the restroom. They poured cold water over my head again and again. I was under a lot of physical pain and mental pressure. One night, after I had been detained there for 3 months, a prisoner suddenly asked me a question about Falun Dafa. At first, I thought that he would beat me if I clarified the truth about Falun Dafa to him. But soon after, my righteous thoughts overtook my fear. I clarified the truth about Falun Dafa to everyone in the prison cell, including him. Later that night, I had an encouraging dream that 4 Falun wheels that held fire were spinning above the sky, and a group of children were running around happily, as if they were celebrating the new year. I was released from the detention center a few days later. After I returned home, I studied the Fa diligently and truly cherished the precious opportunity to study the Fa. Although I walked out of the detention center with righteous thoughts, I was not happy about it at all, as I could not figure out what omissions I had that caused this tribulation. Moreover, I felt resentful towards the practitioner who revealed my name to the police. After I thought more about what happened, I finally found my strong attachments to pursuit and looking outward, which contributed to my tribulations. I felt that a wall around me in another dimension collapsed after I identified these attachments. Since then, my cultivation has improved, and I often had a feeling of sudden enlightenment that the Fa principles just flew into my mind while I was working or walking. As I continued to look within, I recalled that I often felt that cultivation may be over soon and I wouldn't have enough time to cultivate. Since I obtained the Fa late in January 1999, I was eager to improve my cultivation level as quickly as possible, especially when I felt my improvement was slow. While in the midst of this attachment of pursuit, I happened to meet the practitioner, who later revealed my name to the police, during an experience sharing at another practitioner's home. This practitioner pretty much took over the entire sharing and talked most of the time about his experience. Another time, a practitioner told me there was a fellow practitioner who cultivated well, and we should share cultivation experiences with him. I went to the sharing and saw that it was the same practitioner. He talked the whole time, from morning until afternoon, about his own cultivation and also answered questions from other practitioners. I did not feel that there was anything wrong with it. However, this practitioner revealed my name after only seeing me twice, which caused me to be imprisoned and persecuted. After going through the tribulation, I completely understood that it was my pursuit and looking outward that led me to this practitioner who was enlightened on an evil path. As far as I know, the other 2 practitioners who led me to meet this practitioner also went through tribulations afterwards. They were both arrested and detained. One of them was hit in the face by a prisoner, which almost caused him to become completely blind and has made his life and cultivation very difficult. After he was released from the detention center, this group of practitioners who were enlightened on an evil path almost dragged him back to their group. After I suffered the persecution, it was good that I looked inward to find my attachments that contributed to the cause of the persecution. Otherwise, it would be like a mine laying on my path of cultivation that I would step on again sooner or later. I no longer felt any resentment toward the practitioner who revealed my name, but felt sorry for him instead. All tribulations are caused by our attachments. If the practitioner became enlightened on an evil path due to the compliments from the practitioners around him and the attachment of pursuit by other practitioners, then we are all responsible for it and added fuel to the flames on this matter. Although I found my attachment to pursuit, the evil party's harassment did not stop. On New Year's Eve, I celebrated the New Year's at my parents' home and received a phone call from the police station near where I lived. A police officer ordered me to report to him by phone every day during the Chinese New Year period. I thought of Masters Fa titled, Dafa Disciples' Righteous Thoughts Are Powerful, from The Essentials of Diligent Progress 2, after putting down the phone. Quote, no matter what the situation, do not cooperate with the evil's demands, orders, or what it instigates. Unquote. I told myself to follow Masters Fa and not to cooperate with the evil. However, I also feared that I would be detained and persecuted again if I didn't comply with their demand. I thought of leaving my home and hiding. This way I didn't need to cooperate with the evil and could avoid being arrested. However, I knew the next day is the Chinese New Year and my entire family and relatives would get together. If they knew that I would rather be homeless and lose my educational opportunity than call the police, they would not understand it and would be angry at me, or even angry at Dafa. I knew I could not make it more difficult for any sentient beings to be saved. It really was a difficult decision. While in the midst of that dilemma, I suddenly realized that it was the evil from other dimensions that controlled the police. I should eliminate those evil factors. I felt enlightened and at ease. A person would not dare to do anything to a practitioner if they were not controlled by evil from other dimensions. I immediately started sending righteous thoughts every hour. I could see a golden shining light with my celestial eye and thought there must be a great battle in other dimensions to eliminate the evil. After I finished sending righteous thoughts, I felt very relaxed and knew the tribulation was dissolved. Since then, which was 14 years ago, the evil party and the police have not harassed me. I thought about it after I sent righteous thoughts. How did I have the righteous thoughts to eliminate the evil behind them? It was probably because all I thought about was following Master's requirements and selflessly thinking of others first. When I look back at this period of time in my cultivation, it was often very emotional for me. A huge change in my cultivation status occurred after eliminating the attachment of pursuit. I could no longer be moved by many things, and I no longer had an interest in pursuing supernatural powers. On the contrary, I had a more thorough understanding of the Fa about supernatural powers. I also made sure not to experience zealotry or showing off. I finally got through this tribulation and cultivation. The right choice I made based on the righteous thoughts paved a smoother cultivation path for me. It was also the best choice for the sentient beings, including my family and the police, as it prevented the police from creating more karma for themselves by continuing to persecute me. I truly understand that all the persecution practitioners experience is caused by the evil in other dimensions. Moreover, I became calmer and clearer while handling things after that.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled, Our Entire Family Cooperates to Save Grandma, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on January 30th, 2024. Because I studied the Fa with my grandma since I was little, I understand the truth about the persecution. More than a decade ago, when my grandma was imprisoned and persecuted for practicing Falun Dafa, I was still very young. I only remember thinking it had been a long time since I tasted her cooking, and then one day Grandma returned home with another DAFA practitioner who had also been persecuted. Grandma had lost a lot of weight, and her once short curly hair was long and straight. She changed so much that at first I didn't recognize her. When I was little, I had no idea what persecution was. I only knew that practitioners were arrested for no reason other than that they practiced Falun Dafa. It was only when I grew a little older that I understood more about the evil acts of the Chinese Communist Party. I secretly made a wish. I wanted to leave China after I grew up and submit a petition to the United Nations with other practitioners to seek redress for Falun Dafa and practitioners. Maybe due to the fact that we are near the last critical phase, the Divine wanted to set a final test for practitioners. One afternoon after class, I saw my mom hurriedly packing some things. When she saw me, she told me that someone had reported Grandma when she was out clarifying the truth and had been taken to a police station. Whenever bad things happen, I immediately recite, Falun Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. So although my mind was blank at the time, I helped my mom pack the Dafa books we had in the house, and I quietly kept reciting the two phrases. My mom said the police might come and search our house, and the image of police officers ransacking and making a mess at Dafa practitioners' homes, which I had seen on television, appeared in my mind. My mom said, "Don't worry, they won't dare come in." Hearing that, I suddenly woke up. Yes, Master said in Chapter 3 of Falun Gong, quote, "That being is unable to strike the practitioner because he is cultivating in an upright practice and has a protective shield." Unquote. I felt there must definitely be a layer of protective shield outside our house, protecting us, so the police would not dare enter. I also recalled that Grandma once said that when we met with problems, our first thought must be righteous. We cannot panic and let the old forces have any excuse to persecute us. Therefore, I said to myself that this was a test for me. I must have strong righteous thoughts and not spoil things for Grandma. My mom headed to the nursing home to pack the stuff there while I stayed home and continued packing. As I packed the books, I recited, "Dafa is good." After everything was packed, I sat down to do my schoolwork, but I knew that I would definitely not be able to study properly now. So I took out the tooth clarification amulet I always carried with me and said to Master, "Master, please empower Grandma. She will definitely be released today. This is a test for our whole family, and we will not acknowledge any of the old forces' arrangements. I only listen to what Master says." Bad thoughts start to enter my mind. I realized that these thoughts were interference from the old forces, so I said to them, "You can't disturb me. I must think that those thoughts are not from me. I only believe in Master. I will not bow down to the old forces. I only follow Master's arrangements. Annihilate all the old forces." After I said this a few times, I calmed down. Mom, Grandpa, and Dad packed up the tooth clarification materials and communicated with the police station. Empowered by Master, things started to develop in a positive way. That afternoon, I asked Mom about the situation. She said that there was no problem. At the most, Grandma would be detained for 2 days, and then she would be back. I said, "Grandma will definitely not be detained. I believe that she will definitely come back today." Sure enough, as night fell, Grandma came home. I was attending an online class when I heard her voice. I was relieved. After my class, Mom and I exchanged our cultivation insights with Grandma. We all thought that our family had cooperated well. Grandma's righteous thoughts were strong, while we, who were outside, sent righteous thoughts. We did not complain or blame anyone. Our whole family seemed to have already made an agreement beforehand, and we all did what we needed to do in an orderly manner. On top of that, we also had master's empowerment. All of this resulted in a satisfactory outcome. I think that as family members of a DAFA practitioner, witnesses to DAFA's extraordinary powers, and beneficiaries of DAFA, at such critical moments, we must give our utmost support, fully believe in Master and DAFA, and maintain our righteous thoughts so that we can provide strong support to our DAFA practitioners and assist Master in foul rectification. This is my limited understanding at my current cultivation level. Thank you, Master, for protecting and empowering us along the way. Kindly let me know if there is any room for improvement.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled A Scoundrel Changed Because of Falun Dafa by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 1st, 2024. I grew up in a rural area in northern China and became a scoundrel. However, my life took a remarkable turn after I began practicing Falun Dafa in 1995. In the years that followed, Master Li's compassion and protection guided me on a transformative journey. Allow me to share my cultivation experiences. Part 1. My Dark Past. When I was a child, the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, targeted my father as a counter-revolutionary. He was often dragged away to be denounced and humiliated in public. Our whole family was looked down on, seen as inferior and often bullied. I felt so unfortunate that I was born into such a family and was deeply hurt by all that happened to us. As I grew up, I decided to fight against my destiny. Starting in elementary school, I resorted to using violence on anyone who bullied me. Though I excelled academically, I dropped out of school in the 7th grade. After that, I confronted anyone who bullied my family, and I developed a bad temper and was easily irritated. My parents could no longer control me. As I grew more fearless, I fought all the time and beat well-known gangsters and other scoundrels. I was notorious in the area. Later, I also took up a lot of bad habits, including smoking, drinking, and gambling, which troubled and hurt my family. Part 2. Transformed by Falun Dafa. In 1995, I heard about Falun Dafa and was intrigued to learn about its miraculous effects on health and character improvement. I learned that my cousin in the city had become a practitioner, so I decided to pay her a visit. There was a group of people in her living room. She was showing them a video of Master Li lecturing on the Fa. I immediately sat down to watch with the others. Dafa's profound principles completely awakened me and answered all the questions I had about life. I felt fortunate and excited to finally find Master after so many years of searching. I resolved to shed my past and become a genuine practitioner by following the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. After I began studying the Falun Dafa teachings and consistently doing the exercises, my life underwent a remarkable transformation. My health was restored, my bad habits disappeared, and my rude and aggressive behavior was replaced with a kind demeanor. I resumed farming and returned to a normal life. My relationship with my wife became harmonious, and fellow villagers saw me as a new person. I also let go of my strong attachments to fame and making money. Once, I saw a bag of cash on the road with over 3,000 yuan inside, and instead of just snatching it up, I simply waited there until the owner showed up. Another time, in a store, the clerk undercharged me by 80 yuan. I immediately gave her the difference. I had many similar encounters like this, and my heart was unmoved. One day, when I saw a large rock on the road that posed a great danger to traffic, I quickly stopped my car and moved the rock with much effort. I love to give people a ride when they were hitchhiking, no matter how old or how young they were. Every time, people thanked me for helping them out. I told them that I was a Falun Dafa practitioner, and I shared with them the goodness of the practice. I often encouraged people to stop believing in the CCP propaganda they saw on the news and to recognize how terrible the regime was. After they learned the truth, many people were willing to quit the CCP and its affiliated organizations. My journey stands as a testament to just how wonderful Falun Dafa really is.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.